Tanya for the 27th of Tammuz is in Igeres HaTshuva, Perek Yud, chapter 10. It's on page 198. The number at the bottom of the page is 380. The Alter Rebbe is describing the difference between Tshuva Tato and Tshuva Ilo. That Tshuva Tato means the regret and the feeling of pity for the neshama, and also the recognition of the damage caused by the sin. And then Tshuva Ilo, the higher level Tshuva, is serving God and studying Torah out of love and fear. Only this happens in one of two ways. Tshuva Ilo comes in one of two ways. Either Milmailo Lamata, from above downwards, or Milmata Lamaila, from below upwards. In the study of Torah, it is basically drawing down godliness, which is the desire to serve God with love and fear, but it's not actually the love and fear itself, whereas when it's coming from below, from the person himself, then it is closer and more real to the person, and this happens not so much in learning as it happens in davening. And now we'll continue on page 198. The line begins on the acha, about 8 lines from the top. And since this davening is on the level of tshuva ilo, that's why it has to be prefaced, you have to introduce it with the lower level tshuva, with tshuva tato. And what is this tshuva tato that precedes davening? So the Gemara, the sages say in the Mishnah, that a person begins to daven, prepares to daven, with a heaviness of head, of the head, a seriousness. Pirish Rashi, and Rashi explains, what is this kevad reish, what is this seriousness? Hachno'o, it means a feeling of lowliness, v'hi b'chinas tshuva tato, which is an expression of the lower level tshuva, l'eire rachamim kenal, to arouse compassion for the neshama and for the source of the neshama, and that is a feeling of lowliness, a feeling of humility, as explained earlier. And as the Gemara bases its statement on a verse in Torah, how do we know that you're supposed to daven with a seriousness and with humility? Because it says, "V'hi moras nefesh," concerning the tefillah of Chana, it says that she was bitter of soul. And from there we learn about davening, that the davening should be said silently and so on. And so we see that the mood with which to daven is one of seriousness and of humility. So that is the tshuva tato that precedes and introduces the tshuva ilo. Ochen the beraisa shom, however, in the beraisa, there in the same place where the Mishnah is, tonu rabbonon, we learn that einem dim lehispala l'mitech simcha, that the proper mood and the proper introduction to davening should be joy. And as we said earlier, simcha comes from bina. Eim habonim smecha. Eim habonim is bina, because chachma and bina are the mother and the father and the mother. So bina is the mother. So the eim habonim, the mother of the emotions, the children, is bina, and eim habonim is smecha. Simcha comes from bina. And bina is the level of tshuva ilah, of the higher level tshuva. So the statement that we should daven with a heaviness of heart, with a humbleness, that is tshuva tato. And the statement that we should daven besimcha, that's tshuva ilah. So we have to experience both. But in this orphaned generation, in which not everybody is capable of shifting and switching from one emotion to the other, from extreme humility to joy. And the reason he says the orphan generation is that an orphan means the loss of the father and mother. And the father and mother is the Chochmah and the Bina. Since in our generation our emotions are not as closely connected and permeated by our intelligence, by our Chochmah and Bina, so the emotions of our generation are like orphaned, separated from their parents, from their origins, which is Chochmah and Bina. So if the emotions were based in wisdom, in Chochmah and Bina, then just as Seichel in general, intellect in general, is objective and can see both sides of a story, both sides of an argument, therefore it would be capable, it would be easy for the person to go from a feeling of humility when that's necessary to a feeling of joy when that becomes appropriate and necessary. But when the emotions are not permeated or influenced by the intelligence, then the emotions are much more rigid and it's hard for the person to shift from one emotion to another. And that's why he says in this orphaned generation, when our emotions are not connected to intellect, it is difficult to go in a moment, like until the moment of Shemona Esrei, they have to feel humble. The moment of Shemona Esrei has to be Simcha. So it's difficult. Azai Eitzah HaYu'utzah. So then, the advisable way of going about the davening is lahagdim b'chinas tshuva tato b'tikun chatzeis kanal, to experience the tshuva tato not in the davening but rather in the tikun chatzeis, in the midnight prayer as mentioned before. There the tshuva tato is more appropriate because it is a time of mourning and a time of seriousness, whereas in the davening should be with joy. And whoever can't manage every night to experience this tshuva tato, al kolponim lo yifches mipam echad b'shavua lifnei yom haShabbos k'neida l'yedin. He should do it at least once a week before Shabbos, as is known to those who know, to those who study Kabbalah. And that is, Shahashabbos Ibuchinas Tshuva Iloh. That Shabbos itself is also the level of Tshuva Iloh, a higher level Tshuva. And Shabbos, the letters of the word Shabbos, are the same Asiyas as the word Toshev Enosh. Toshev, to return. Ki b'Shabbos hi Aliyas Ha'elam Es Lemekedam. Because Shabbos is a time when the world is raised up towards its source. It is closer to its source. And that is the character, the quality of Tshuva Iloh. U'befrat Tfilas HaShabbos V'dal. And particularly the davening of Shabbos is certainly an element of Tshuva Iloh. And it is sufficient for those who understand. So the person can't experience this tshuva tato every night in Tikkun Chatzeis, then he should do it at least once a week on Erev Shabbos, because Shabbos is itself tshuva iloh, and the tshuva tato should precede the tshuva iloh. And therefore the tshuva tato should be done on Thursday night. With this we'll understand what it says, return to me for I have redeemed you. What does it mean, because I have redeemed you? After I've erased like a cloud your sins, the sins that were like a cloud, which means the removal of the unholiness, after I've redeemed you from the unholiness, from the unholy garments that encrust the soul, as we learned earlier. This was removed when the person aroused for himself compassion from above. By arousing compassion for his neshama, which is tshuva tato, then tshuva elai, then you can return to me b'tshuva iloh, with the higher level tshuva. the Hayyim Yayim, actually going back to yesterday, the Hayyim Yayim for the 26th of Tammuz, the Rebbe writes that in learning, a person is devoted to a subject, that which he wants to understand, and he does understand. In the davening, the person is devoted to that which is above and beyond understanding, that which can only be felt, cannot be understood. In learning Teza, a Jew feels like a student sitting in front of his teacher, and in davening, he feels like a child standing in front of his father. We left out that piece on yesterday, so we're filling it in. In today's Hayyim Yayim, for the 27th of Tammuz, the Rebbe writes that one of the very bright and famous, talented students who had a profound and deep understanding, who studied in Lozhne and was very, very diligent in his study of Hasidus, and with his great talents, in a very short time, he managed to amass a great understanding and a very wide knowledge, broad knowledge of Hasidus. In his first Yechidus, when he went into the Alter Rebbe, he asked the Alter Rebbe, "Rebbe, what am I missing?" And the Alter Rebbe's answer was, "You're not missing anything, because you're God-fearing and you're a Lamdan. Only you have to get rid of the chometz, which is the arrogance and the coarseness of your ruchnius." Different between yeshus and gasus hazuach. Yeshus means a feeling of self, and gas hazuach means when even your spiritual things, even your Torah and mitzvahs, have a little arrogance to them. So you have to get rid of the chametz, and in the place of the chametz, bring in the matzah, which is bittul. And the laws of chametz is that a vessel that was used for chametz, which means a vessel that once had arrogance in it, and that is that it was a vessel that was used on fire, over a fire, so that this arrogance appeared to be light, appeared to be bright, kegein shpudin, as for example the sticks on which you roast meat. And this prevents or delays the coming of the Shekhinah, the presence of the Shekhinah, because it says that God says, "I," concerning the arrogant person, that "I and he," and the arrogant person, cannot be together in the same world, because arrogance blocks the Shekhinah's presence. So that kind of a keli that once appeared to be light, but in fact was arrogance, the only way to make it kosher for Pesach is to torch it, to make it so hot that it turns white. And when do we know that it's turned white? It's when the sparks are flying off the object that is being heated up. And those are the sparks of the nitzutzes, the divine sparks that are in the unholiness. When they start leaving the unholiness and becoming absorbed into the true light.